The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right. Welcome to the show. And thank you, as always, for joining us and sharing a part of your weekend with us. And for those of you just joining us, we're on every single Saturday from 3 to 4. And try to make it lively. Hopefully it's entertaining. This is a different financial radio show. We're not going to talk just about which mutual funds you should have and diversification, although that's important. But we want to give some economic insights. We want to leave every listener, whether you end up calling the show or not, or whether you end up becoming a client or not, we want to give people the knowledge of what's really happening in the world. It's what I do for a living, so obviously I think it's fascinating. Hopefully, right? But I think you will too. And I want to break it down and decode the things going on so you can have a better understanding of what it is. And that's what we do here. Also understanding the whole, it's Know Your Risk Radio, right? Understanding the role that risk plays, both in good ways and bad ways, and how to properly manage risk. And we got a great show for you today. I'm excited about it. I put a lot of research into it this week. Again, if you've heard the show, you know I'm kind of an economic nerd or a finance geek, as my wife calls me, which I wear that moniker proudly. But done a lot of research. There's a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of, what would you call it? Fake news, obviously. But just a lot of bad reporting, a lot of lack of clarity and insight into what's currently happening in the world. And so we try to decode some of that. So we're going to talk, we're obviously going to run through our market update every single show. We start the same way. I want to break down what's happened in the week and what we should be paying attention to, or what we think you should be paying attention to. We want to talk about valuations again, a little bit different this time. I want to talk about some really interesting research and metrics that we came across this week to give you an idea of what's really going on in the markets. And then we're going to do a full segment on fiduciaries. I realized, I think yesterday, that while I was sitting in traffic for an hour and 40 minutes going from a client meeting in Kent to Tacoma. Unbelievable. Anyway, that's a whole nother. I'll get derailed talking about that. That's incredible. Good thing we're doing ST3, which won't help traffic at all, but we're spending $58 billion. Wonderful use of money. Government at work, people. Anyway, and then we want to talk about the difference between getting conservative and market timing. Had a great talk with a client or a prospective client that called into the show this week, and I wanted to address that. And then we want to do a segment, The Market's Biggest Myths. I've done some really interesting research on that I think a lot of people are going to find really, really interesting. And if you're invested, regardless of how you're invested, all of these topics are going to be applicable to you. Again, we education's number one goal. I love this stuff. I think it's fascinating, markets, and I want to make it fascinating for other people, and I also want them to have some insights and to be armed with the actual truth. So again, like we say all the time, no opinions, just facts. Just going to give you the facts. And I'll throw, obviously, some opinion in there. I can't help myself, but mostly the facts. And then we want to do a segment on passive investing. I don't think the vast majority of investors out there understand A, what passive investing is, and B, understand how it works and what the risks are. So we want to talk about that. But let's get right into the market update, starting right off. Interesting week. Couple really cool things, or interesting things, I should say. Maybe scary things, but important nonetheless. We continue to watch oil. In the past, oil and copper have been two things. As a matter of fact, copper is often referred to as Dr. Copper because it tells us what's happening in the industrial segment of an economy. And you're putting up a building, you're building something, you're going to need copper, right? Oil, conversely, if trade is picking up, if business is picking up, you're going to use more oil, right? We're going to run more semi-trucks. We got to heat more, buildings. That doesn't directly correlate to oil, but loosely. More cars are driving, trucks are transporting goods, all that kind of stuff. Oil and copper continue to be in the doldrums for different reasons. But I think there's two really important things about oil and copper that people should focus on, and more importantly, oil. And that is this. The issue with oil, A, is symptomatic of a lack of growth, not just here in the United States. People talk about Europe rebounding, whatever. These are blips. Growth has to pick up a lot more in Europe and here in the United States before you sit there and go, okay, we've got a rally on our hands. Okay. So a lot of people are talking about that. Let me just tell you, they may be right, but there's a lot of optimism. We have not seen the markets turn. We've seen the markets bounce a little bit in terms of production, in terms of business activity, but it's to extrapolate that out and say, oh, we've got a global rally on our hands, which everybody's saying, that's faith. They're extrapolating out growth. And if we think about it, we've been hearing people say that now for 10 years. Okay. And they just be a skeptic, right? We don't want to be cynical, but we want to be skeptics. You know, show me the money. I'm not going to take your word for it. And to me, the biggest indicator is oil. If business activity is picking up in Europe, which coincidentally, if you look at the trade situation between China and Europe, you can't really see one rally without the other. So this outbreak of global growth they're talking about, it's certainly not showing up in Chinese data. It hasn't yet showed up here in the United States. And don't hold your breath, guys. You're not going to get an outbreak of growth this late into a cycle. If you do, it'll be the first time it ever happened. Is it impossible? No. Is it unlikely? Like I said, be the first time it ever happened. You don't get accelerations with peak asset prices and peak debt. You just don't. And the other thing that I think oil shows, and I think this might be the most important thing, it shows an oversupply. And that oversupply is, A, people talk about U.S. shale. Yes, obviously the United States participating a lot more in the production of oil than any other time. As a matter of fact, we just reached our peak oil output that we hadn't hit since, I want to say, 71 or something like that. But it's also, funny enough, an indicator of low interest rates. Now, why would I say that? Because as we saw in the oil crash that almost tanked the entire markets last February. Now, interestingly enough, as a side note, we've now dipped below $45 a barrel and the market just isn't paying attention. Which is amazing to me, but I don't want to get off on a tangent. But when we saw oil crash, everybody was talking about just the overproduction and all that other kind of stuff. And the Fed stepped in and did some activity that's not widely talked about, but the Fed stepped in to try to help the market and stabilize things a little bit then. But what they did, and by keeping rates as low as they did, there's a lot of producers, there's a lot of oil companies out there that were able to stay afloat. And I don't know if you read about it, but during that oil crunch a year and a half ago, a lot of the banks stepped in and converted the debt to equity, which means they reduced the leverage of the oil companies themselves and helped them stay solvent, which is a good thing. You keep the company from going out of business, right? But the other problem with it is when you keep that company from going out of business, guess what they're going to do? They're going to keep producing oil. And so one of the offsets that doesn't get paid enough attention to is that in a zero percent interest rate environment, you've got a lot of weak hand, poorly run, poorly managed, whatever you want to say, producers that are able to stay alive. And the problem with that is, does it keep jobs going on? Yes, it does. But they keep bringing their cheaper oil to the market because they got to sell it, right? They're struggling. And so they actually ramp up production. They're trying to milk every single bit of revenue out of those oil wells as they possibly can. And so as this goes, I think what you're probably going to see is you're probably going to see pressure on the price of oil. because they haven't allowed enough people to go bankrupt. As mean as that sounds, it's the truth. And that's systemic. That's not just in the oil industry. That's across the, you know, that's across the entire marketplace. We see it in everything. Margin compression, which we're going to talk about later. But anyway, if the markets, other than that, not a lot's going on, guys. We're just hanging out at record valuations and everything's good. Everything's great. Market's going to keep rallying. Again, we're skeptical. But, you know, you definitely need to be careful. And, you know, one of the best things you can do, if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more about this stuff, we try to diagnose what's really going on. You can go to knowyourriskradio.com, hop on our podcast page on iTunes, and listen to our other shows, the other interviews we've got. I think obviously I'm biased, but I think there's some great information on there. The other thing you can do, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And call us. Just give us a call. You can do it with me. We do a portfolio review, a risk assessment, tell you where we think you're taking too much risk, how we can lower your fees, how we can improve your performance. Usually takes 15, 20 minutes. We get about 25 calls from listeners per week. And I just love it. I love talking to them and you know, sharing insights. And we're going to talk about one of those discussions I had earlier this week with a listener because I thought he brought up some great questions. But anyway, so go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Call us at 866-779-RISK. And hang with us. We got a great show coming up, a lot of great information. Appreciate you tuning in. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. Let's keep it rolling. Thanks for sticking with us. And as always, if you just joined us, you can, assuming you like what you hear, hopefully you do. I enjoy talking about it. But if you just joined us and want to pick up what we were just talking about, the market update, you can always go to knowyourriskradio.com, access all of our podcasts, go to our iTunes page. And it's not just me. We got some really good interviews, too. I'm trying to schedule a couple more. I got some good ones coming up for in the next month, month and a half that I think everybody's really going to like. Guys who you will know and who are a much bigger deal than I am. But we're working on that. So stay tuned. But I didn't talk about this in the warm-up, but it fascinates me. It interests me. It has since I was a little kid. And for those of you that don't know, I'm talking about finances. I come by it honestly. I was literally raised in a brokerage firm, literally, and in a family firm that was started, studied finance and economics at Pacific Lutheran University, and have worked in the financial industry my entire career. So I come by it honestly. But one of the things I love and that is intriguing to me, and it's scary, but it's just fascinating to me, is bubbles, right? Financial bubbles. And I just think it's a study of human behavior. It's a study of economics. It's a study of everything. And if that interests you, A, turn this up a little bit and stick with us. But B, look into this, because what everybody should be paying attention to, and it gets some talking about, but not like it should. The mother of all financial bubbles. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. One of the things that we say and we talk about all the time is, no opinions, just facts. And I'm going to give you the facts. And I'm not really worried about, you know, a lot of times you won't hear financial professionals saying one thing or the other because they don't want you to think that they're not credible if what they say doesn't come true. But
And I'm not making any investment recommendations off of this about what we're going to talk about right now. But it's just fascinating to me, and I think people should pay attention to it because it is a bubble. Everybody says you can't spot bubbles. It's complete nonsense. You absolutely can. It doesn't mean you know what the outcome is going to be, but it's easy to spot a bubble. And the mother of all financial bubbles is happening right in front of us, and it does not get talked about enough, and that is China. Unbelievable. So here's the story on China, right? We've got a 1.3, is it 1.4 now, billion people in the economy. They're growing. Everybody knows the whole growth story. You know, China's great. It's fueling the world's growth. You know, blah, blah, blah. We all know the upside, okay? What's really going on? What's really going on is the government in China, the party, right? They've gone quasi-capitalist. A lot of you probably know that kind of stuff. You know, they're allowing free enterprise now and people to do their own things and to a degree. And they've got all this growth. You know, their economy's slowed down, but it's still growing at 6.5% a year, which is, you know, incredible, right? But the internals of this move are what's the most intriguing aspect. Everybody talks about debt. Everybody talks about our debt. If you want to see debt, you should see China. Okay, we're running up. When we look at the entire economy in China, again, don't hold it. I should have the numbers in front of me. I should have brought them, but I completely slipped my mind. But China, the United States, when you consider the debt that the Fed holds on its balance sheet, the United States got about 115% of debt to GDP, meaning that our outstanding debt is 15% larger than the entire size of our economy. Okay, if you put that same metric on China and you consider the fact that the banks in China are government-backed and you add up the banks, China's between 300 or 350% debt to GDP, okay, which is fascinating. The other fascinating thing is China is the second largest economy in the world. And it's about 60% and rising pretty quick, 60% the size of ours. It's about a $10 trillion economy. We're at about $18.5 trillion. Our banking sector here in the United States, which measures all the loans and all the, you know, all that kind of stuff, equity lines, our banking sector is about $23 trillion in size and our economy is 18.5, which makes sense, right? You've got slightly more leverage. I mean, that's high, but it's not, you know, it's not insanity. China is a $10 trillion economy, or maybe 10.5 by now, but they have a $35 trillion banking sector. There are Chinese banks, based on the information we can see, and remember, this information is cleansed and scrubbed by the Chinese officials and the Chinese government, but there are Chinese banks that have 40% NPL rates, and an NPL is a non-performing loan, 40%, which means in some cases, 40% of the loans outstanding that they are backing aren't paying. That's incredible. What's even more incredible is they're not writing those assets down, right? They're not taking the hit on it and admitting it. They're acting like it's all just going to take care of itself. And then you might say, okay, well, Zach, I get that. There's a debt issue, but what about the growth? Okay, well, listen to this. How are they funneling? Well, first of all, we got to look at the growth, right? 6.5%. Based on analysis done by guys that are much smarter than I am and that know this stuff and that have had boots on the ground in China, there's a lot of suspicion that that growth, if you measured it the same way we measure our economic output, would be more like somewhere between 2.5% to 4%, right? So first of all, I don't think the growth rate is accurate, but let's assume it is for the sake of argument. How are they achieving that growth? Well, to get that growth rate that everybody talks about and everybody believes so much in, they are increasing their debt at a rate of about 40% of the size of their economy per year. Okay, if your debt is expanding at 40% and you're growing at 6%, you've got a problem. You can't just look at the growth rate. How is it being achieved? That's insanity. It's the biggest financial bubble of our time. Way bigger than the real estate bubble. We were doing some analysis on it. Again, I was doing some minor analysis. This is information, again, from guys. It's actually Kyle Bass. Many of you have probably seen him. I'd love to get an interview with him at some point. But he was one of the guys that called the subprime collapse in mortgages and made a bloody fortune. But I was reading a lot of his data that he was putting out on China because he's a big China bear. And if you look at, again, looking at the total size of the economy, the total output of the economy, every aspect of the Chinese economy,
and you look at the debt they're racking up and the debt they've already racked up, and if they had to do the same thing, which is inevitable, right? Remember I was telling you about all those non-performing loans their banks have? At some point, what that means is they're going to have to bail out their banks to save the economy, just like we did in the United States. But here's the problem. If they did the exact same thing on the same scale that we had to do with our banks, recapitalize them, remember the $800 billion? It would take China somewhere between probably $4 to $4.5 trillion to do that, which is significantly more than the reserves that the government's got. So what does that mean? It means they'll probably have to devalue their currency at some point, and they're going to have to probably devalue it at a lot quicker pace than they have in the past. They've had a little couple devalues here and there, but they just can't sustain it. Anyway, it's absolutely incredible. And we don't even have, we'd probably take a 5-7 hour show to sit here and explain all the ins and outs of the China situation. But if you want to be entertained or scared, look at that Chinese data. It's unbelievable. It's amazing they've kept it going on as long as it has. But, you know, we know how it's going to end. There's a certainty there. When? Who knows? That's anybody's guess. Don't try to time these things. But you want to see a bubble. Look at that thing. Unbelievable. So anyway, we got to get rolling. But as always, guys, if you want to talk to us, and this fits into our investment, you're probably sitting there going, wait a second, you invest, right? Well, what's the name of the show? Know Your Risk Radio. And our whole thing is risk management. You know, managing money in a way that fulfills your retirement goals, but manages our risk too. And we're going to talk about that later in the segment, but how much risk do you have? Do you know how much risk and how much potential downside is in your portfolio? Really? Do you know what the potential losses are? And more importantly, do you know how that fits into your long-term retirement plan? Maybe you've got a portfolio that has nowhere near enough risk. Maybe you're way too much. How do you determine that? Well, our risk management process will give you a good idea. We look at things a little bit differently. Well, a lot differently. But again, we're not the answer for everybody, right? There's going to be people that like to work with us. There's people that aren't. I think everybody could benefit from a risk review, though. Know what you own. Stress test it. Have you ever had your portfolio stress tested? We have a program we use called Riskalyze, where we run portfolios through the database, the computer program, and it tells us what is the maximum down on this portfolio in a really bad scenario. What is the likelihood that we reach our retirement goals? So we can actually put data to it and show you. Here's what your potential downside is. Here's what your average gain should be. Here's your potential loss. This is what it would look like in 08, 09. Anyway, everybody should get it, even if you don't do business with us. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Set up a risk review or go to the website at knowyourriskradio.com. Check us out. Listen to the other podcast interviews we've done. And like I said, give us a call. I'll give you the number one more time, 866-779-RISK. And we can just do it over the phone. It takes 15, 20 minutes. Anyway, we got some other great stuff coming up in the show and some really interesting things. If you were interested in that Chinese bubble segment we just did, I think you're going to love the stuff we got. So stick with us. And thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Okay. Thanks for sticking with us. And once again, for those of you that just joined and find what we're talking about to be entertaining or informative, You can go to knowyourriskradio.com, listen to all of our podcasts, listen to the rest of this show. But I think what we talk about is important. It's our show. But if you're in the at home right now, or if you're in the car, turn it up a little bit, because this is something that everybody needs to listen to. This is going to be applicable to everybody, whether you are an investment wonk, a finance geek, as I am, or whether you're just a regular person that just doesn't want to get crushed, or, you know, everybody should want to know anyway, if they're doing the right things when it comes to investing. And one of the biggest topics out there, and again, this is something everybody should know. You need to know this if you have a financial advisor, if you have your money managed by somebody, if you do it yourself, you need to know this. And that is the word fiduciary. And I'm encouraged because more and more people know what that word means now, but not enough. What is a fiduciary? Who is a fiduciary? A fiduciary basically is somebody where they're managing your money, but your interests are aligned. And the way your interests are aligned, I was explaining this to a client yesterday, it's really simple. It's if you're a fee-based manager, okay, which means you charge a flat rate. Maybe it's 0.5%, maybe it's 1%, maybe it's 1.5%. But that's the only way you get paid. You don't get paid on transactions. You don't get paid to sell this fund or that fund. There are no commissions. It's a fee-based management structure. And if you think about it, one of the easiest ways to regulate any market or any marketplace is to align the interests of the players, right? It's one of the biggest problems that we've got in this country is the way CEOs are compensated. They're compensated with stock. So their incentive is to grow the price of the stock. That sounds good, right? But there's a lot of things you can do to boost the price of a stock that are not beneficial to the company in the long run, okay? Same is true with investors. And I think a lot of us know this. It's very simple. If you have somebody managing your money and their incentive is to sell you things, guess what they're going to do? They're going to sell you things. If their incentive is to grow your money, then what are they going to spend their time doing? Well, A, they're probably going to research better. They're probably going to do their homework better. And they're probably going to be more cautious. Why? Because if you lose 40%, their income drops 40%. I had a client ask me the other day, well, why aren't you guys more upbeat or positive? Well, we are positive. We just see a lot of risks out there. A, right? I'm a pretty upbeat guy. But we see a lot of risks out there. And they go, well, why are you focused on that? And I said, because if you lose 40%, my income drops by 40%. Now, we care about our clients, obviously, and I hope that comes through in the show. You know, I say all the time, managing somebody's money is the most intimate relationship you can have with them outside of marriage. It really is, because you got to know all the stuff. And there has to be trust there, and there has to be a relationship, and it's got to be a partnership. How do we make it a partnership? Align the interests. And here's what a lot of you probably don't know. If you've got an account at Merrill Lynch or Morgan Stanley or Wells Fargo Advisors or where I used to work or any... you're not at a fiduciary. Now, I'm not saying they're bad people at all. I know tons of people. They're good. You know, a lot of them mean well and all. But what's the incentive? Well, the incentive's to sell you things. They're not fiduciaries. They're brokers. And they are held to what we call a suitability standard, which means they have to prove that the investments to the regulators, that the investments that they're advising you purchase are suitable. And how do we determine if they're suitable? Well, we use historical returns and historical data. Sounds right. Yeah, it sounds reasonable enough, right? Well, there's a problem with that, though. And if you've heard the show before, we talk about bonds all the time. But one of the problems with that is if you want to balance the risk in a portfolio, or if you want to de-risk a portfolio as assuming you're a financial advisor at one of these firms, and I run into this all the time, what do? You increase somebody's allocation of bonds. Okay, so what I ask investors all the time is, what are you making on those bonds? And the most common thing I see is between 1 and maybe 2.5%, but usually between 1 and 2%. Now, what fee are you paying? What's your advisor fee? Again, average between 0.75 and 1.5%. So let's call it 1% on average. So you're paying 1% to have somebody manage 40, 50, 60% of your assets, and they're invested primarily in assets that produce you about 2% a year. So after expenses, you're netting out about 1%, and the current inflation rate's 2.5%. I'm not a math major, but, you know, run those numbers through. You're literally paying somebody to put you in an asset that is at the highest price it's ever been in its history, paying a record low amount of interest to make 50% of the inflation rate. Yeah, I get in this argument. Well, what are we supposed to do? I don't know. Do what we do. Find alternatives. Well, bonds are... No, they're not. Bonds have been correlated with stocks, meaning that bonds have not been playing the counterweight to stocks for 10 years now. Go look at the information. Was it last August, TLT, which is a bond ETF that tracks the interest rates on 10-year and 30-year mortgages, or not mortgages, but U.S. Treasuries. The TLT and the S&P 500 at all-time highs in the same... Was it the same week, I want to say? Something like that. Anyway. And then in 2008 and 2009... That was the first time since the Great Depression that bonds and stocks fell more than 20% in a year together since the Great Depression. Which means that bonds and stocks are correlated now. They're not the hedge to the portfolio that everybody says they are. Now, could they be? Sure. But there could also easily be another credit blow up or another bond issue. And that's going to take down the bond market and the stock market at the same time. And so let's roll this back into a fiduciary. Why do we have the approach that we do? Because we're a fiduciary. Why am I so cautious about bonds and interest rates and all that kind of stuff? Because I'm a fiduciary. Yeah, I'm looking out for my clients. Yeah, I'm dedicated and obsessed with a passion of providing our clients with the best level of service and the best experience and the best outcomes we possibly can. But I'm not going to lie to you. The other side of it is, why are we really cautious right now? Because I don't want to see my income take a 50% haircut. Our interests are aligned. So when we make moves or recommendations, our clients are looking at us going, yeah, we're on the same side of the table. We know Zach's not just pitching us something because legally, he can't. He doesn't get paid transactionally. When I buy and sell stocks and funds for clients, it actually costs me money. I pay the trade cost. So when we're making recommendations, clients know. And we're putting in the time and the research and all that kind of stuff. So, and you know, it's not, don't just take my word for it. A fiduciary, so get back into the definition of what a fiduciary is. Remember I was saying the brokers are held to a suitability standard. They've got to make a suitable recommendation. Fiduciaries are held to a best available standard. It's called the fiduciary standard is what it's called actually. And that is that we have to make the best possible recommendation. And it means a couple things. A, at least we do. We do a lot more homework and gather a lot more data from clients before we make portfolio recommendations. Part of that, again, is that's the way we do things. The other side of it is we have to. That's the standard we're held to. And if you want to know who you're working with, what their interests are, and if they're giving you the best information, the first step you can take, and this is legitimate, whether it's us with somebody else, the first step you can take is aligning yourself with a fiduciary. Tony Robbins wrote a book about it recently. You know, Tony Robbins, the big guru. He wrote a book about this. And he calls it the single most important thing in having your assets managed. So if you'd like to talk to a fiduciary and kind of hear the differences in the way we do things, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. As always, you can go to the radio show at knowyourriskradio.com. We're getting more content up. Be patient with us because growth is a good thing, but we're slammed. We're busy, but we're trying to make that even more robust. And I want to put up more. We're working on some videos right now for clients, walking through risk management, more data about some of the stuff we talk about on the shows. I want to make it a place where people can go to get the information. But anyway, like I said, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, schedule a risk review, talk to a fiduciary, hear what the difference is. And make sure you understand that. And then make sure that you're getting your money managed by a fiduciary. It's one of the easiest things you can do. You're going to get better information. Why? Because your fates are tied. And that's the way it should be. You know, a captain should go down with the ship. You don't want a guy managing your money where he makes money regardless. So make sure you're with a fiduciary. Anyway, thanks for sticking with us. Once again, 866-779. Give us a ring and we can set up a risk review or give you any information or just talk to you about some of the stuff we talked about on the show. We've got to take a quick break, but stick with us. We got a couple other really good topics I'm excited to talk to you guys about. But anyway, thanks for sticking with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show. And for those of you just joining us, remember, you can always go to Know Your Risk Radio and get our podcasts. You know, if you just pick up part of the episode, you want to hear more about what we're talking about. We got a lot of good stuff on there. Great interviews, great information. But I teased this a little bit earlier, and we got a special guest host in the radio. I don't think he likes it when I call him a guest, though.
I'm hosting?
Does he?
I didn't know I was hosting.
Well, I mean, yeah, I've got to add as much punch to this as I can.
All right, I'm hosting.
This is a big get for us.
Host with the most.
Getting Dory Monson on the air with us today, and the voice of Seattle, as I euphemistically refer to him as. And
see Zach. Crazy times, man.
It is crazy times. We were laughing when you walked into the studio. Markets are up, which is a big change.
Yeah.
Right. And I know you've gone all in. You're buying Facebook and Amazon.
You know, the more scared I get, the higher it seems to go. But that's, yeah, that's what we've been talking about from when you and I first started talking on the radio. And that is when everybody else is bullish, that's usually a good time to pull back a little bit. So I'm a little nervous about where we're at. But we'll just keep printing money. We'll just build this house on sand. Who cares?
Yeah, it's like I said to my mom when I was a kid. You know, what do you mean we're out of money, Mom? You've got checks left in your books.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We'll just keep writing them.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't understand the finer points of finance back then, obviously. But what is your take? You know, everybody hears what I have to say so often about all this stuff. When you're looking at this, and I know you don't do it for a living, but you're more astute than the average cat running around. What do you see going on out
there?
Well,
we're just printing money. And we've done this before where we just inflate the economy. And, you know, at some point, it all comes due. And, you know, the $20 trillion in debt. And every time there is some attempt to whittle away at that, then everybody is just screaming bloody murder. Like if a budget gets released, as there was a couple of weeks ago, that says we're going to slow down spending, not decrease spending, just slow it down, slow down the increase a little bit. And everybody, you know, oh, you're going to kill people then. and so any attempt to get things under control in our economy and the way we overspend, the way we're going into debt as a nation, it's just used as this political pawn. And I think that's really dangerous. And I don't think, you know, just as a family that makes $60,000 a year, they can't afford $250,000 in household debt. And our nation can't afford where we're at right now.
No, I know. And the thing that concerns me the most, and I know that you talk about this on the show, which made the partnership, you know, obvious from our point of view. But the thing that concerns me the most is the average investor out there correlates so much of the economy with the market. So they see markets going up every single day, and to them, that's a green light, right? It's all things are good.
Yeah, and God bless them. It's been a great ride.
Right.
It's been a wonderful ride, but you know, if people are, have just gotten into the market since 2008, then you can be deluded into thinking that it's a one-way street and that way points up. But if you've been through a couple of these things, like I have in 87 and 2000 and 2008, then you know that eventually things mellow out a little bit.
Right.
And I'm afraid this could be a harsh mellow coming up here.
Yeah. Well, like you and I talk about too, and for those of you that haven't heard us or haven't heard the show before, it's, you know, we're not pessimistic. We're not sitting there. It really even has nothing to do with the fact that the markets, you know, the Dow's at 21,215. It has nothing to do with that. It's the valuations you're paying for the underlying securities.
Yeah.
Right. And I want people to understand that.
One thing I complimented you on before we went on the air, and that I'll mention again here, because you're a great sponsor on my show. And when I talk about you on the show, I've been mentioning this booklet you've put together, because it's tough to explain exactly what the philosophy is, but you've put together this great color booklet, Common Sense Investing. I know you send it out to people free of charge, no obligation. And then they can take, you know, a few minutes. It only takes a few minutes. It's 12 pages. It's really concise. But they can see what your philosophy is, and they can decide if it makes sense for them. But I think you've laid things out in a real clear, compelling way that even when things are going up, as they have been, it's still prudent to not be all in and, you know, have all your eggs in one basket. So, you know, I'd encourage people to reach out and get this booklet you've put together, because it's very cool, and it very concisely lays out what you're all about.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate that. I was pleased with the way it turned out. And it's got the, like we talk about all the time, no opinion, just the facts. It's got the data in there. So you can look at it and draw your own conclusions. And I think one of the things to point out, we were talking about this off the air, but is the Warren Buffett value indicator that he follows. And I think it's interesting to note, you and I haven't talked about this, but if you look at Warren Buffett's company right now, Berkshire Hathaway, it's got a $400 billion market cap. Okay. For those of you that don't know what that means, it means the entire size of his company, it's worth $405 billion. And several things in that company. He just owns companies outright, right? They buy entire companies. But the other part of the company is they've got $135 billion in stock, okay? Right now, he's got also about $105 billion in cash.
Right.
So his cash pile is virtually the exact, almost the exact same percentage as his stockpile. Stock.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun. Yeah. And that's the highest percentage he's ever had cash to stock at any point
that.
In Berkshire Hathaway's history.
Yeah. And this is one of the world's greatest investors. So, that might, and I know a lot of people who have pulled back a little bit here, and they're afraid of just this runaway upward trend, and they're thinking this is a good time to maybe take some profits and maybe balance things out a little bit. So that's where I think they should talk to you and see if your plan makes sense for them.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, I had a conversation on the way up here on the radio. We can reposition things in such a way that you'll keep going up if the market goes up. You're going to keep, a lot of times we'll improve the performance if the market keeps going up. The only difference is you're not all in.
Right.
Right. And if one of these big events happens, it's not going to delay your retirement. It's not going to lower your spending level per month. It's not going to mean that you can't, you know, buy the condo in Arizona.
Sure.
You know, it's just ensuring that we'll be able to get the outcome that we want.
Well, it's like I talk about all the time, and it's kind of my, and I didn't, I've mentioned this to you before, I didn't set out to be a contrarian.
No, right.
And I'm not just talking about investments. I'm talking about in almost all of my life philosophies that I talk about on the show. I've just come to discover that the masses are usually wrong.
Right.
So that's why I like being a contrarian, because
it pays well.
Yeah. Following the crowd, that's usually not who I want to be, you know, be associated with, is
right.
the masses. So, given my philosophy, I think being a little contrarian right now is probably a healthy dose of skepticism.
Yep. Well, I can't thank you enough for joining
us. Yeah, it's good coming in talking with you.
And for those of you that want the booklet that Dory talked about, you can give us a call. We'll get you that free booklet, Common Sense Investing. And as always, you can give us a call at 866-779-RISK and set up a risk review, and or, you know, ask for the booklet. We can get it sent to you. And, you know, hopefully we can arm you with some more information. So thanks for joining us, Dory. Really appreciate
it.
And hopefully you'll do it again soon.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back. Going to take a little break. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Man, time flies. I realize I got off course with my my China discussion, and we got a lot more stuff to pack in here. So I'm going to try to get to all the things that we talked about, and I'm going to jump right into it. Thanks for joining us. Know Your Risk Radio every Saturday at 3 to 4. And if you've been listening to us, go back and listen. Hop on knowyourriskradio.com. Go to the iTunes page that we've got, or iTunes account, or whatever it's called, and pull up this segment and listen to that fiduciary part. Everybody should know it. Forward it to friends and family, or just tell them about it. Everybody, like I said, it's the easiest thing you can do to protect yourself and know you're getting good advice. But let's get right into it. So a conversation I had with a great guy, meets so many. That's why I love KTTH listeners. You're sane. And I'm finding that to be increasingly valuable these days. But had a great conversation with a guy who's done really well for himself, older gentleman, setting up retirement accounts for his grandkids, and called into the show and working with him. And one of the things that we talked about, and he said one of his investment rules, which is a great idea, we've got them. Our list of rules is too long to rattle off, but everybody should have investment rules and parameters, and they should stay disciplined to that structure. It's key. I don't want to get off topic. But one of the things he talked about was, no, I'm fully invested. He's older gentleman in his late 70s, and he's got 80% of his money in stocks. And he goes, we don't market time. We don't try to judge whether market's going up, market's going down, all that kind of stuff, which is good. And we just ride it out. Up or down, we take it. And that's good. The basic philosophy behind that is good, right? Because let me just tell you, if you think you're a trader out there and you're going to make money on market moves and you're going to know when the market's going to go up, you won't. Hopefully you know that already, but you won't. And so that part of what he was saying was good. But here's where, and he and I had a discussion about this for about an hour on the phone. There's a difference between being conservative and market timing. And the whole reason why we're not trying to predict short-term moves and predict where the market's going, A, it's impossible. But B, you know, that's the whole basis of Warren Buffett's approach, right? Buy and hold. Don't try to time the markets. And I was talking about this a couple weeks ago, and it resonated with a lot of listeners because we've received a lot of calls about it and people always want to talk about it. What is Warren Buffett doing right now? Warren Buffett has his biggest allocation to cash, meaning he has money not invested, just sitting in cash, as a percentage of his overall investments, a bigger percentage than he's ever had. And he's the greatest investor of all time. Is he trying to time the markets? No. What he's saying, what he's seeing and what he's reacting to is something I talk about on the show all the time. Everything is at record levels. Everything is really, really expensive. And so we're not trying to time the market, but it's the old adage, I only dance if I hear music, right? Well, I only invest if I see value. That's common sense. When do you buy? When you're getting a good deal. And if there isn't a good deal, should you buy? Absolutely not. You should never buy something because you're afraid it's going to get more expensive. Now, obviously, there are probably exceptions to that rule. Like if you want to go to a, you know, a athletic event or something like that. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about a home or stocks. Can it work? Yeah, sure, it can work. But the vast majority of the time, you'll be buying right or near the top. And remember, your assets don't care what price you paid. They're going to do what they do. So the price we pay for an asset is the single most important aspect of investing. You show me an asset that's churning out, you know, a 10% rate of return per year, that's great. Do I want to invest in that asset? Maybe. But what do I got to know? I got to know what I got to pay for it. Because every dollar I pay more for that asset is less in percentages of return. And you've got a lot of people right now invested in a record number of stocks that when we look at the rate of return or the rate of growth that those stocks have is actually very similar to owning a 30-year U.S. bond. But here's what I can tell you about a 30-year U.S. bond. You're not going to lose 40% of your value in 6 months. Okay? So we have a lot of people not paying attention to valuations. And so getting conservative is not market timing. We don't advocate our clients trying to market time. What are we doing right now, though? We're batting down the hatches. We're being very conservative. We're positioning our clients in such a way that if the market continues to rise, great, we're going to go up with it. But if it doesn't, we've limited the downside risk. We know for a fact that each client has no more exposed to risk than their particular retirement plan can tolerate. And we analyze that via stress tests and that program where I was talking about called Riskalyze. Make sure that your risk is appropriate to the outcomes that you're looking for. So anyway, we got to take a quick break. I'm going to be right back. We're trying to slam a lot here in the end of the show. But remember, getting conservative is not market timing. We've had a market that's up 320% off the bottom, 20% annual gains for the last 9 years. The one thing I can tell you for certain is this will not continue. Doesn't mean I'm predicting a crash, not trying to market time, not trying to do that. But now's a good time. Everything's at record prices. Now's a good time to be conservative and to look at the downside possibility and make sure your portfolio fits into your long-term plans. This is elementary. Now, it may not fit into the financial industry sector and the goal of the financial company, but that's why you need to be working with a fiduciary, like we talked about in the last segment. So anyway, stick with us. We're going to slam a lot more here right at the end. And you're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us. As always, you can go to knowyourriskradio.com, download the podcast, or just listen to them on the iTunes. The iTunes. I sound like I'm 80. The interweb. Anyway, I'm going to get right into it. We're trying to pack it all here in the end of the show. And the one thing I want to talk about is passive investing. Have you heard of that? You should have. There's so much talk, so much debate going on about passive investing. So here's what it is. You've probably all heard of Vanguard, right?
Well, Vanguard is the father of passive investing. And what passive investing means is that rather than trying to pick individual stocks, we simply invest in the market. Okay, so rather than trying to pick which 20 stocks in the S&P 500 that we think are going to outperform and make money, why not just buy the entire S&P 500? And the reason that that's become so popular is there aren't a lot of good stock pickers, especially in this environment. Holy smokes, tough environment. A lot of reasons for that, and I don't have time to get into them. But fairly good concept, right? We know that going back through history, going back to time, the numbers differ depending on who you're talking to and, you know, how they look at things. But roughly, you're going to make somewhere between 10 to 11% a year if you just stay invested in stocks, going back to the Great Depression. That has not been the case for the last 20 years. But for the sake of argument, go back, you know, 100 years and we're at 10 to 11%, depending on who you talk to. And we also know that I think the number is somewhere around 90 or 87%, or maybe it's 93% of mutual fund managers. So guys that actually run portfolios underperform the market. And then on top of that, you pay an advisory fee. And then on top of that, you pay an internal fee called a 12B1 fee inside of a mutual fund. So why don't we pay less fees and get better performance? Sounds pretty good, right? And that has been a good thing. That has been a positive evolution for clients. But there are catches. I think a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about passive investing. The biggest passive investment tool used right now is the S&P 500. You can pull it up on your SPY. Is a spider. It's an ETF that just tracks the S&P 500. It costs a fraction to own of a mutual fund, way cheaper than a mutual fund. And it's probably going to outperform, right? Because most mutual fund managers don't beat the S&P 500. And so it's a good tool. We've used it. I think we've still probably got some in some client portfolios. We believe in that. But you can lose money. If the S&P 500 goes down 55% like it did at the bottom of the 2009 market, that investment will lose 55%. These aren't safe investments, guys. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, right? We need to have a risk balance, right? We talk about it all the time. We need to have safe parts of the portfolio and we need to have risky parts of the portfolio. And we determine that based on your individual retirement goals and needs. Not to mention the fact, not only is it not safe, but there is a record amount of money in passive investing. People are just pouring money into it to the tune. Vanguard last year received an average of $1 billion a day flowing into their passive indexes. Passive indexing has swamped out every other type of investing in the market. And what's the effect that's having? One of the effects it's having is it's driving the stock market up. That's why you see these out of whack valuations, because when you buy a passive investment, you're buying the whole market. You're buying every stock in the S&P 500, whether or not that company is good or not, whether or not that company will be in business with a year or not, inside of a year or not. So if you own passive investing, that should be part of your portfolio. Good job. But you also need to know the risks inherent with it that are unavoidable with it. And if you want to know that risk conceptually and in data form, in numbers, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. We'll risk test your portfolio through our program that we call Riskalyze. And we'll tell you, here's the data. Here's the input. Here's how these things held up during market crashes and market upturns. You can also go to the radio show, knowyourriskradio.com, get our podcast, get more information about us. But arm yourselves with education. Know what you're invested in. Know what the risks are. And then more importantly, know which risks your retirement plan can tolerate. You only get one retirement. Use it well. So anyway, thanks for sticking with us today. I appreciate it. Hopefully we've delivered you some good news. Again, give us a call. Set up a risk portfolio review. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And until next week, happy investing, and we'll be back soon. Join us again. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.